I hope that this passage changes you in many ways. And I don't know, for some of you, I think James really making a distinction here. You know, we have this first paragraph and last week in chapter 3, or 2 weeks ago in chapter 3, where he's talking about who's going to be the teacher, right? And it's this person who has control over their tongue, who has allowed God's word to affect their heart to speak in such a way, right, that outflows the fountain of life, right? And then he asks in this next paragraph, right, who is wise and understanding among you, right? Because in life we have these self-proclaimed righteous people, right? People who listen to me, right? Listen to me. Like I'm, you know, this great person. Well, just because you have understanding or just because you have biblical knowledge does not make you wise, right? Wisdom, from hopefully from the lesson, what you understand, it is the skill of living. It is the skill of living righteously. And that takes practice. And that comes from a transformed heart and a transformed life. And even those of us who are transformed, it still takes practice and it still takes skill to live in wisdom, to live in gentleness, to live in these ways that we have listed. And I think when, you know, when you look at this passage, at least when I looked at this passage, you know, some things stick out to me. I told the ladies in my group, usually I'll take a passage like this and I'll make observations. And I'll think, oh, why is this here? This doesn't make sense. Or why would he use this word and not this other word, right? And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but in verse 15, when the word demonic, like, sticks out to me in that passage, like, whoa, what is demonic in this passage, you know? It's like, wow. And it says that earthly wisdom is earthly, natural, and demonic. And I don't know about you guys, but that disturbs me. I think, okay, yeah, earthly, yeah. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I have an earthly mindset. My mind is not like Colossians 3:1, where I'm not always setting my mind on the things above. Natural, yeah, I'm a natural man. And so, and the flesh, I still live in the flesh. And so sometimes I'm natural. And then I get to demonic and I stop there. And I think, demonic? I'm not demonic, right? Am I thinking? How can I be demonic? And yet, in James chapter 2, it talks about what the demons believe, right? They believe in God and they believe that he is one. And they tremble. But they don't live for God. Right? James is telling us something here about earthly wisdom being demonic and not being consistent, right? What we say and what we say to believe and not living it out. There's a big emphasis here on deeds, hypocrisy, being single-minded, right? There's this idea of a lifestyle going on in this section as well as in the rest of the book. And so most of you hopefully did your list of earthly wisdom, right, versus spiritual wisdom. But I just want to challenge you, when we are not using God's wisdom, I want to challenge you to think, okay, right now I am thinking earthly, I am thinking natural, I am thinking demonic. And I think that that will shock us just a little bit back into truth, in the realm of truth, right? If I am not thinking God's wisdom, if my wisdom is not all of these other things, then this is what it is. Let's call it what it is, and let's not lie against the truth. If it's not from God, it's from us. If it's not from God, it's demonic. So that's a, you know, it's a sobering thought. But the neat thing is that we know and love the God of the universe who has all wisdom. You know, and if you doubt that, go to Job. Read through Job. If you doubt that, go to the Proverbs and read through the Proverbs. We worship the God of all wisdom, who has made all his wisdom accessible to us. We have all the riches in Christ. We have all the wisdom in Christ. And so I know that, the list, which is interesting in verse 17, where it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. He wants to make that emphasis first. And that should kind of jump out at you just a little bit. Like, okay, it's first pure, right? And how many of you are familiar with Psalm 19? How many of you have Psalm 19, 7 through 14 memorized? Raise your hand. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Does anybody have that memorized? Okay, a couple of you. This is such a great passage. This is one of those go-to passages. For those of you who, when you're done with James chapter 1, and you're not moving to James chapter 2, this is one of those great ones to memorize for yourself or with your children. We've memorized this as a family. Because there's this idea of God's wisdom, right? Or the law of the Lord. God's wisdom is everything he's spoken to us in his word. And it says in Psalm 19, 7 through 14, that the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are desirable than gold. Yes, yes, much than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me, then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The law of the Lord is pure, right? It restores souls. It makes wise simple people who don't know, right? They don't have a worldview. They don't have a God-centered view. And yet God's word does that for us. It rejoices our heart. It's the only thing that makes our heart glad in this life. Other things may seem to satisfy for a short time, but only God and his word can rejoice the heart. It enlightens our eyes. It's going to last. It endures forever. And not only that, is it sweet? It's valuable. And it helps us to see ourselves for who we really are, and it helps us to see people for who they really are. There is much wisdom. You know, and for those of you who have known the Lord from the time you were young, or maybe some of your children who might come to the Lord, their worldview is set. I tell you, my kids can write about anything in history. Go back to selfishness and pride and greed and control. And, you know, if you understand the human heart, you understand the motivations of the human heart, right? And God tells us in his word what people are like. And then he also gives us the worldview of hope in a lost world. And so, and mercy and compassion and all these other things that he gives to us through his word. But it's there. It's all there for us. God's wisdom is in his word. And so the question is, when you come to a decision, where do you go for wisdom? Okay, when someone who doesn't know the Lord has a decision, where do they go? Just give off some answers. Okay, a friend? Oh, I'm hearing stuff, but I can't hear it. I'm sorry, what? Oh, the internet. They Google it. Okay. Palm readers? There's a lot of lights for palm readers around here. Dr. Phil or Oprah, used to be Oprah. Okay. Your mother or your father? Okay? Whatever the general trend in society is telling us.
The self-help idol
at the bookstore. Okay, self-help idol at the bookstore. What's that? Oh. Wait, he's a what? Oh, the New Age teacher. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we just, whatever we think, whatever just seems right, is our wisdom's coming from ourself, right? Or the combination of two ignorant people, right? Me and my husband, or me and my whatever, right? It's this, I don't know, what do you think? I don't know, what do you think? You know, and so we think what seems from the pooling of knowledge that we have. And yet, right? And the world will tell us those things. The world will tell us, be a free thinker, right? Live outside of reality. Escape reality, right? Look within yourself or do what's right. And then here's, what is God's word saying? That's earthly. That's natural. That's demonic. Don't do that. God's the creator of our bodies. He's the creator of our minds, right? Our hearts, everything about us, and yet we don't go to the manual. We go somewhere outside of that. And what we're doing is we're being arrogant, right? We're being arrogant to say we know better than God, that we can come up with something better than what He knows to do. But the problem is that we don't take the time to go to God's Word to understand, why do we do the things we do? Why do we believe the things we do? Why do you parent the way you parent? Why do you have a marriage the way you do? Why have you set up your household? Why do you spend the money? Why do you spend your money like you do? God's wisdom speaks to all of these things. Remember the Proverbs we studied just a few years ago? Last year? Not even a few. Last year we studied the Proverbs. Right? Talks about counsel, about parenting, about finances, about our speech and how we interact with people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If the fear of the Lord means I care what God thinks more than anyone else in this life. If I fear man, then I'm afraid of what that person, I care more about what they think than what than I think, or what God thinks. If I fear the Lord, then I care most about what God thinks about something. And if I care most about what God thinks, then that is the beginning of wisdom. And everything else will be set by that. And sometimes we don't know. We don't know what to do. But if we don't know what to do, as Christians, what do we do? Okay, we go to the Bible?
Pray.
Yeah, those two things. We pray first, and James tells us to pray. James tells us to pray for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask it of God. And He promises to give it to us, but He has given it to us. But we need to seek it, and we need to be in it. And so my question to you is, do you know, first of all, why you do what you do? And is it coming from God's wisdom, or is it coming from worldly wisdom or your own self? Because I thought of it, because I thought it was the right thing to do, right? But the fool thinks, does what is right in his own eyes. That's what the fool does. The fool does what is right in his own eyes, but we don't have to. We have God to show us what to do and tell us the right way to think. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We don't have to be lost and empty and confused. God's not a God of confusion, right? And so I just want to encourage you, ladies, that your time in the Word is well spent, and it's valuable. It's precious. It's God's thoughts. And, you know, for those of us who know the Lord, to be able to have God's Word, what else do we need? We have God's wisdom. Where would we go? What would we think apart from, you know, being revealed, the God of the universe has revealed to us these things. We have it right here, and yet do the dishes instead in the morning. I know I'm tempted to. I walk past the kitchen to go to my little spot where I'm going to read my Bible. Oh, man, and those dishes are like screaming out to me, wash me, you know? And it's like, oh, you know? And I'm like, okay, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I sit down, you know, and have self-control. And I think, right? Because myself is giving me wisdom that I need to have a clean house before I can spend time in the Word, and it's a lie. It's a lie, you know? And so I just need to spend time with the Lord, and I need to get his wisdom. And then the interesting thing is in that, the next one, I'm not going to obviously have time to get through this whole list, but it says that God's wisdom is peaceable. And I'm probably only going to be able to get to this point. Okay, God's word is peaceable. Peace is talked about or commanded 96 times in the New Testament. And sometimes it's just the greeting of a letter. Peace be to you, right? Or grace and peace be with you. But if we really think about it, there's two kinds of peace that are needed in the world, right? The first peace is the peace between God and man. God's wisdom is peaceable. It is reconciling men to God. In Romans 1, right, it says that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men because they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. There's enmity between the Creator and the created. The created are rebelling against God. There's not peace between God and between men. And so, but we, Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, are peacemakers, right? Or if we look at 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away, the new have come in. These things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation. We have peace. And we have the message of peace to a warring world, to a world that is addicted, and a world that is destroying themselves. We have the message of peace. Wisdom from above is first pure and then it's peaceable. And not only that, we have it. It says in verse 20, 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we're ambassadors for Christ. And first and foremost, ladies, we are ambassadors for Christ in our home. We have little rebels. And if you guys have toddlers, right, you have little rebels in your home who are not at peace with God. And you have God's wisdom to reconcile, to know what it means to help them to reconcile between themselves and God. Right? God's wisdom is first pure and then it's peaceable. And not only this kind of peace, right? Well, I guess too, just thinking about it too, we also have the mindset too that we understand why people do what they do and why they sin. Because they're not at peace with God. They haven't repented of their sins. They haven't turned towards Christ, and therefore, they operate in the deeds of the flesh. So you, with your coworkers, with your little children, with whoever it is that you know, your family members, right, who are constantly sinning against you or living in sin or whatever, you have the mindset of, yes, this is what they do because they're operating in the deeds of the flesh. And so the wisdom is, I can't fix them on the outside. I can't, when I walk into the room, they're not all of a sudden going to say, oh, I'm going to stop talking like this, or I'm going to stop gossiping like this, or I'm going to, right? yeah, I can ask them to not do that around me, but yet that's not going to fix their heart because there's no peace between them and the Lord. They don't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. And so I understand that what they need, God's wisdom is, I can't fix that, but I can give them the gospel of hope. And once God has taken hold of their heart, then they don't want to do those things anymore. God will eventually root those things out. He'll root the language out. He'll root the fornication out, right? He'll root the anger out, right? All the things that are controlling them. So God's wisdom shows me that peace between God and men fix a multitude of other sins. But for the believers, we are also to be at peace. Because the world will say, get whatever you want, however you can get it. Right? That's what the world says. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do that. But that's natural thinking. That's not supernatural thinking, right? That's earthly. That's not heavenly, right? And it's not godly. It's demonic. So we need to think about that, right? Is your goal in your house to promote quietness and lack of conflict? Or is your goal in your house to have peace, those of you with children? Okay? Because there's difference. We might be able to get quietness for a very short time. Turning a movie on, telling them to be quiet, right? Or putting them in their room or whatever, right? But that's not necessarily, that doesn't reflect peace. That reflects a temporary break in the conflict, right? Peace acknowledges sin and wishes for it to be reconciled, to ask for forgiveness, right? Peace is the same between people, in a sense, as it works the same way as when we've sinned against God. There has to be an acknowledgement that something was done wrong. There has to be confession of sin. There has to be forgiveness. And so if you want to promote peace in your marriage or between your children or between you and your children, that's how we go about promoting. That's how we're a peacemaker. Not by ignoring it or not addressing it or giving them what they want for a time. That's not peace. That might just be temporary quietness, right? It's not true peace. And so in Colossians, we're commanded in Colossians 3:15 that the peace of Christ would rule in our hearts. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:13 that we would live in peace with one another. But of course, peace with others requires humility and gentleness. Which I think a lot of us were convicted about the lesson today, the whole idea of gentleness, right? And so at least in my group, that was a big thing that everyone took away. But Jesus tells us to learn from him gentleness and humility. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is gentle and humble. And he says that we can learn from him. In John 14, he says, I give you my peace. Right? We have the peace of Jesus. We just don't necessarily use it all the time. We have it available to us. That whole analogy I gave you of the vine, right? Everything that Jesus is, right, we have available to us. And he is humble and he is gentle, right? We just need to learn from him. We just need to do it. We need to access his resources. And we can be that. Lady, there's hope. I know in our natural selves we are not gentle, right? And so, and we're not reasonable, right? The idea of reasonable being that we don't want to listen. We already know, and so we're not going to listen. Right? I already know what happened between you two. I don't need to hear anything. Don't even talk. I'm going to pronounce my judgment. I know, I've done that before, right? But it doesn't say that. It says God's wisdom listens. Even if you're pretty sure you know what happened. Even if you're very sure that you know what happened. Even if you saw what happened, right? That Jesus sees everything, and yet, right, he still listens. He still allows, because maybe what they have to say will give us a little insight into the motivation and why they did it. We don't have to pronounce the judgment right away. We can be good listeners. It's reasonable. It's gentle, right? And I'm just going to end with this. It doesn't waver. As Christians, we don't believe in situational ethics. The ethics, our ethics, or what we believe, doesn't change based on circumstances. Just because it was rape doesn't mean we abort a child. Just because we're in Mexico doesn't mean we can wear our bikinis and flaunt ourselves because we're in a foreign country. Who knows us here, right? If God tells us and commands us something, then we always obey that thing, right? We don't waver in that. And then all that's going to do is be as James is talking about. Who's wise and understanding, right? Well, it's without hypocrisy. It's not wavering. And then just lastly, as most of you know this, right? Wisdom is not hypocritical, and James is addressing this throughout the book. Moms, if your kids are probably 5 or older, right? They see you for who you really are. Okay, they know when you're talking to your mom friend and you're telling how wonderful something is and, you know, and how this, they know whether it's really wonderful or not. They know how you talk to people and how you talk to them. And they know the discrepancy. Right? And the rubber meets the road with your children. Right? Your children and your husband should be the first one to say, my wife or my mom is the same at home as she is in public. Ouch. So that is God's wisdom. That is God's wisdom for it. And we can be all these things in Christ. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer. I'm going to give us just a minute to confess. And this isn't a time to, like Carla said, beat ourselves down, right? We know we have to work on some things, right? But we also know that we have the God of wisdom that we have access to. Lord, we know that you are wise, God, and that you are all these things. Lord, you are pure and peaceable and gentle. Lord, you are a good listener, full of reason, full of mercy. Lord, always showing good fruit, faithful, unwavering, always the same, non-hypocrite. And Lord, we know because you are these things that we can be these things too, Lord, by your Spirit, God. Lord, we thank you that you always give us hope, Lord. And Father, we desire to be wise and understanding. Lord, we desire to be the same at home as in public, Father. We desire to be the gentle mom and the gentle wife, Lord, full of wisdom, full of kindness. Father, we pray, God, that our hearts would pray that every day, Lord, and that we would go to your word and that we would rely on you. Because in you, Lord, we can obey. Lord, we are not dead in our trespasses and sins anymore. We are alive in you. And we thank you for this morning. We thank you that for the power of your word, God. And we just pray, Lord, that we would worship you, Lord, with our lives this week. Amen.